actually.
The ritual is allowed to occur, but the rest of the time is considered a preparation for the ritual. So in a way, is ritualized differently.
But I like this metaphor of mask, not only because of this is the many various different readings you can understand the mask. It can be this ritualistic one, which divides those moments, or also just as we perceive it as kind of like a conscious alibi, which prepares us to wear it for common use and not seeing as kind of fetish or of a collector's object, you know, coming from Middle Sea or...
It would be really interesting actually that in a society like the one we live in, where, you know, there's literally no... nothing sacred except money, except big money. But it would be very interesting that we wear masks on a daily basis. You know, we really wear masks. You know, like.
And we count with that. People will understand that we say the mask we wear is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But in originally they were for different, made for different reason.
No, they. But the funny thing is that actually, as I think Daniel was saying, the mask was pulled out to reveal something, you know, like something that
it also
the skin was hiding.
Also to focus on something, to clarify something, very specific. And I think in tribal culture, as you can read in Levi Strauss and all that, masks have such an interesting grammar in terms of when, at what stage in your own development as a human being, you were considered to be ready to confront a mask, or to confront the appearance of a mask. I mean, so, you know, so incredibly sophisticatedly put at various stages of that kind of passage from being a child to become an adult, in our terms. So, I don't know, I think when one's...
Precisely for that reason, because felt is the accumulator of energy, is like the, you know, is like the heat collector.
Yes.
And then copper is the transmitter, is the conductor.
Oh yeah, okay.
So I see, you know, like an interesting collapse.
Of course, it's ideas that are presenting Kawara and voice. I mean, of course, you know.
He needs. He has the brush. He has the cans with paint, but. In these cans are water labeled as red, blue, yellow, as brain, red, feelings, tears, angst, body, and hips.
And there are objects which are fixed on a board, or in this case on two boards, and this is actually the first time that I tell what it could be inside. You know, it's an African mask, which I think it's this one, not this one.
The kind of paint.
And the kind of paint and some other objects. You know, a sculpture that I did with three with wood. Mm-hmm. I was aware, of course, and now even more than before, that, you know, that he also did some works, but his works were without purpose.
We should fact check actually, but I think the title is I Walked, or I Went. I think the title is I Went.
I went. I went, you know, from his apartment to I don't know what, but maybe he wants to buy some grocery or wants to see an exhibition. But this is I knew exactly from the very beginning that I start that I wanted to go to these places. So I put myself a map. Mm-hmm. So on the internet I print it out and say, oh, that's my work that I have to do. So it's and that's why for me it's more an experience, you know, than. A mapping of a certain kind of trajet. You know?
So that experience for you, in regard to this type of circuit of influence.
Circuit of influence. That's
circuit
a nice.
Meaning
that's a nice,
both, yeah. You know, like a trajectory and also an electrical circuit. This experience does it have anything to do with repetition? Does the experience connect with the fact of emulating or repeating a certain procedure that is historically consolidated through the works and the lives of artists that worked on experience as well?
Yeah, I don't think about that. Of course, I'm aware that there were a lot of artists. I mean, there are still a lot of artists that
a sacred animal or whatever. But that would not be possible if there were not people around the performer. Seeing the mask, and the whole mask, actually, the whole purpose of the mask has to do with visibility, you see. And the feeling we have when we are confronted with our own mask, as Westerners who wear supposedly no mask.
Mister, actually, you're not drinking this, right?
No, I'm thinking, no, exactly, have it. No, have it. as you do it in Zurich. Transfer.
I love to do that. Yeah. I transfer always everything.
Yeah, it refreshes it when it's been out for a while. You know, so us Westerners who, you know, like don't wear masks and are obsessed by the mask, and then when we're alone, we're in panic about who we are and we can't take the mask out of our face. And then you go back to the...
To the
comic book.
Yeah.
To the mask. Because, you know, that idea of not being able to remove the mask is terrifying.
Maybe, yeah.
So the interesting thing is, like, through this curious inversion of culture that's happened through...
To have this kind of strategy to deal with experiences, but in my... You can have, you know, a silent conversation, you know?
Okay, let's go to the last part now. The last question I wanted to ask you, which has to do with this one.
I mean, this follows exactly the same strategies, but...
But let me ask you the question.
Why has this shape, you know?
But yes, I know. The difference here is that this is a square.
A square.
And that this is paint canvas.
That's what I wanted to say.
Jute type.
Yes, but it's also used for painting.
It is.
It is.
It is, and actually, okay, let me go back to that work, because actually it is used, actually connects with...
I was in front of a mirror, and the robot wasn't sort of like transvestite, so like drag queen, but it was actually a skeleton. And there was like a piece of a mask on the face of the robot. And the whole point was that the robot was run by the software of face recognition. And so it was a very... like, you know, cyborg type of thing, so it didn't look like a human, but it had eyeballs, and it had this program that would actually recognize your face, and so the robot would look in the mirror, and you would be behind, and it looked at you through the mirror, but it actually could recognize your face and follow you, you know, like this, with the gaze, and it was like singing and kind of dancing in a very, you know, like cyborgy way. But it was actually following you with the eyes. And that was incredibly spooky. You know, incredibly spooky. That a machine was actually looking at you, and you would move and it would look at you, and it had a really spooky face.
Mm-hmm.
So that was actually a mask.
Yeah, I'm just not so sure.
But the audience also paid the camera.
Artists like Ed Atkins. You know, simulation, virtuality. I think of Japanese.
We really wear masks, you know, like...
And we count with that people will understand that we say the mask we wear is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But in originally they were for different, made for different reasons.
No, they, but the funny thing is that actually, as I think Daniel was saying, the mask was pulled out to reveal something, you know, like something that
it also
the skin was hiding.
Also to focus on something, to clarify something very specific. And I think in tribal culture, as you can read in
Lin, we actually really wear the mask and feel it and understand its power and its reality when we are alone.
Because we also connect masks with losing the authenticity. You hide behind the mask because you kind of search for the authenticity you miss.
Exactly. If we thought the mask is actually the authenticity, our whole relationship...
Or we replace them with the masks which we believe in, they bring the authenticity. Or try to create masks of authenticity.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's still the same thing that the masks as this symptom of this thing are still connect us back to their original purpose, which is made for some transcendental experience, you know, which used to be the original purpose. So you can see it as a symbol of how in the contemporary Western society we deals with all those things very much from the surface, but we really don't know how to deal with the content of those things. And that's...
Levi Strauss and all that. Masks have such an interesting grammar in terms of when, at what stage in your own development as a human being, you were considered to be ready to confront a mask, or to confront the appearance of a mask. I mean, so... You know, so incredibly sophisticatedly put at various stages of that kind of passage from being a child.
These societies, the sacred and the profane, are actually not so divided, they're not so separate. There are just moments where...
Totally not, actually.
The ritual is allowed to occur, but the rest of the time is considered a preparation for the ritual, so in a way is ritualized differently.
But I like this metaphor of mask not only because of... This is the many various different readings you can understand the mask. It can be this ritualistic one, which divides those moments, or also just as we perceive it as kind of like a conscious alibi, which prepares us to wear it for common use and not seeing as kind of fetish or of a collector's object, you know, coming from middle.
Another kind of, and you develop another kind of relationship with the world. So these are the two new works that are called the supposed half of a day, and the other one is the supposed half of yesterday. It's about the two works consist of a copper plate and a newspaper. In this case, the New York Times, and the other one.
Did you make this cut, or is there something structural to it?
No, we made this cut in with laser. With laser, so here you see the newspaper only the the half of it, the above half of it.
An artist who, you know, like, is absolutely questionable. In New York, it was, you know, it was like the thing to see.
Yeah,
a certain
I know,
and.
Does it still function as an object, even if it's not objects of art? This is my question.
Well, we already know that whatever you bring from the street into the art space will actually function as an artwork.
Yes, but
does it work the other way around?
Does it work the other way
around? Can you produce that operation the other way around?
You know, do the best, Chagall, as you relate it to Schoenberg. I mean, into the art.
Like, Boris promised me so many.
Boris Kaiwan?
Yeah. Let me start first with the one with the moving art object.
I was once part of the show about crystals. It was called Crystallization.
Work was a robot, you know, very, very sophisticated, expensive robot. And it was connected to this wall. And what you were asked to enter a room, and there could only be maximum 3 people in the room with the robot, and you will be left alone in the room with it. And the robot was connected to the wall, and the robot was in front of a mirror, and the robot wasn't sort of like transvestite, so like drag queen, but it was actually a skeleton. And there was like a piece of a mask on the face of the robot. And the whole point was that the robot was run by the software of face recognition. And it had this program that could actually recognize your face, and so the robot would look in the mirror and you would be behind and it would look at you through the mirror. But it actually could, in a very, you know, like cyborgy way, it would move and it would look at you. And that was actually a mask.
Yeah, I'm just not so sure, because I think, you know, I think of artists like Ed Atkins, you know, simulation, virtuality. I think of Japanese manga, you know, where puppets are all over the place. And I don't know, that for me, like, when I think of a mask, I don't think at all about eyes that follow you. I don't think about this kind of, like, idea, you know, which is linked to...
Clearly artificial. You know, the thing is that there are some people who are really scared of masks. You know, they cannot have masks in a room, you know, hanging in for decoration. Because there's a resemblance of the mask to a human expression.
The car, the Porsche cut on 4 quarters to school. And just the lights of the scooters and cars, brand new ones, just put out and just shining from the walls.
Mm. So how many people have cut cars, man?
A lot of.
There's lots of cut out cars out there.
But still,
cars
when
are stretched, you know.
How many people were doing paintings, you know? It's like just a tool you use for something.
Yeah, exactly. But you know that there is nothing human in it. It's a bit of wood or whatever.
But
see
that's
what I mean?
That's from, okay, I'm going quickly. I should let you speak. But
I just
for
remember.
For me, the mask is never identity. Mask is always the other. It's always something that you are not. And that is basically the space that the mask opens for but, you.
You know, in good Derridean terms, isn't that the very principle of identity?
It's not.
Isn't that the very principle of identity? The fact that you say, I am myself.
How to call it, like developmental?
And there you just see the, so here is mm-hmm. horizontal, the slit, mm-hmm. and there is vertically.
Do you know the funny thing is that it kind of looks like
En este caso no es la palabra correcta. Espera un momentito, que ahora
no.
Auswirkung.
We got
stuck in Auswirkung.
Yeah, Auswirkung.
So there's a consequence that comes from the decision-making process
yes.
that the space forces you to enter.
Yeah, to enter.
Thing. And instead of talking about the show, talk just about this triggering effect, basically. And then take that kind of, you know, space into a conversation.
That's what you say, social subconsciousness.
Yeah, something like that, mm-hmm. you know, like not so much about explaining, because I...
Not really connected with academic discourse.
No, because, you know, I see myself doing that.
Yeah.
I had a chat during a breakfast with Vittorio. It was a nice chat. It's anything you want. It's intelligent.
To the city of Zurich. And so at a certain point in the 60s...
Intelligent. It's modest, it's whatever you need, you know, it's interesting in some way. But then I looked at the transcript and I was like...
And so, but you know, I don't want to say that if you go right or left, there will be a big consequences. But of course...
A robot, you know, very, very sophisticated...
Actually related to how human existence relates to ecology, again, Western terms... ecology, systems of symbolisms, and all of that. And I think that's, for me, that's a problem in Western society, that we tend to kind of like...
Was the brother of Paul Celan. So she told me the whole story. She was from Chernobyl.
And when was that?
This was like 2 months ago.
No way.
Yeah, 2 months ago. So that was...
Okay, your radio show will be about Paul Celan. I'm gonna get my fucking Sorkam stuff out and I'm gonna prepare for
it. Okay, alright, do it.
I like that. I like that.
You know, I have the recording of his reading. There's a record.
Yes.
And he's just, you know, like, hearing him read. The point being that I have the feeling that...
I have a very good friend here. She's a writer and she's...
I read the New York Times every day, and because, funny enough, it was sent to a guy who lives in the same building that when I go to New York is where I live, you know, on East 89th Street. But this is not really important. The ambition of every newspaper is to detect and to filter all the most important news of the day, and to put it in the news and to print. That's why the slogan of the New York Times is every news that fits to print. You know, I don't know if you know, but that's their slogan. And so I just make, you know, a contraposition between, you know, the day that was, and all the news that are supposed to be important for us, even if we know that the news are, of course, you know, a selection of a certain kind of people with a certain kind of strategy. But anyway, we left this behind, and so and on the lower part of the copper plate, you have an engraving, and this engraving is a walk that I did in New York that I call Looking for Thelonious Monk. And so I did two walks, one where he used to play, where he started to have his career.
In this cans, and he paints
body, in a can of brain, for instance.
Can of brain, can of red, can of angst, can of cow, and he paints it.
He dips the brush in a can of cow.
Yeah.
So like wound up in France.
And he lived in Paris.
And lived in Paris, he wrote the... There's actually a beautiful short story by Julio Cortázar, which is so like an evocation of L'Autre-Amont.
Yeah. So, but anyway, it doesn't matter. But this was the title of the work by Man Ray,
mm-hmm.
And so I was very, of course, late. There came a lot of other people, that artists that, of course, you know, the first that comes to your mind is Christo, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But Christo has had exactly. You know, he would, I mean, he would put, you know, some textile or plastic or whatever in the rope, mm-hmm. and say, okay, this is a package, or this is
like, can I go to, for example, somebody who's bipolar, but it just matches totally some kind of intuition in the autistic practice, and kind of go that way, like détourner. And
you mean circumvent?
Yeah, I want to know how to do that. That's my summer project.
You are doing that now?
With the torrent?
Torrent is too academic in that sense. You know, it's still within the rules of things, and there's a system, and we are on the periphery of the system. But still, it kind of is too...
What is actually... What is one doing by doing art? What is it? Is it just following the language, the wording of the world?
Close to the system. It's
a wider public?
It is a very, like, it's an honest thing, but it's not a radical thing. So.
But who needs radical? I think the radical has to be right at the core of the system, you know, like what you say sounds a little bit marginal but not radical.
No, I think it's about language and about kind of
an object that he would define very, very carefully. But in this case, you know, every work has a very specific shape.
No, we can, you know, we can ridicule it by seemingly, you know, romanticize it, mythologize it, talking about the pure souls of the primitives and all these kind of things. But that's not what I mean.
I don't know if I quite believe that, because
this
idea of the subconscious implies precisely that underneath there is some, you know, like hidden content that will emerge and so on and so forth.
But I don't say it like that.
No, I know. Yeah. But it's kind of a myth, you know. Actually, that content only exists when it emerges, and we assume that it has been lying underneath for a while. And that is a completely mythical preconception. That's primitive thinking, you know.
Yeah, but we are anymore not primitives. And this, what I was speaking here about, was more like answer for.
And he relates his doing with ideas.
So, what is in the paintings exactly? When you say he paints with energy and brains and stuff like that, what is he painting? What is he hiding?
The hiding things are painted. If it comes to painted ideas,
but like, yeah,
no, I mean that's about
Switzerland. They're brilliant.
You know, when he was talking about the social subconscious and stuff like that, I don't know if I quite believe that, because this idea of the subconscious implies precisely that underneath there is some, you know, like hidden content that will emerge and so on and so forth.
Say it like that.
No, I know. Yeah. But it's kind of a myth, you know.
Never seen a painting by Vittorio Santoro. I've never seen you with a palette.
I did some painting at the beginning, but of course, you know, they're ridiculous.
No one knows them. Yeah. No one will ever see them. Yeah. They're in Sicily.
You're in Sicily.
Yeah, I can imagine. Of course, that's the best place to hide them, something like that. But anyway, so there's a reference to painting there, willingly or unwittingly.
There's a reference to painting, but a reference also to art, because the painting is the first thing that comes to your mind when you see the word art. It's tragic, but that's the way it is. Yeah.
The first word that comes to my mind when I see the word art is a chocolate cake.
Okay, that's a very nice and of course, you know, this work Mirror of the Seas have also this kind of idea that something is wrapped, that you have to so I'm putting the focus on the element that makes the concealment, you know, that means, you know, the rope, the canvas, and so you see only the surface. So is the surface more important? Because at the moment, that's what you see, is the surface that you see. And the surface is something that it's appealing somehow. And you don't even need to know what is inside, but...
Abbiamo tutta una serie di che a un certo momento si...
Anda al disastro o come?
Ma no, ne parlavo ieri con una straordinaria professoressa che poi mi ha parlato.
Dear Joseph, that yesterday I had turned a little towards the balustrade of the bridge.
It's not written, it cannot be linear, it cannot be cumulative, it has to be recursive, you know, spiral.
Cyclical, yeah.
So you know, I think we're fully aware of that, especially now that there are, I mean, literally no more primitive peoples in the world. I mean, like very, very few communities, maybe in Brazil and, you know, in some areas.
I told him, listen, I have no money, I'm in off space, I really have no money to move the bronze. He told me, listen, you have a contract, so you have to move it away. Then the police called me and told me, listen, we have, how you call it, if they want to send you in front of law, there's a certain, anyway, they want to send me in front of the law, not in front of the law, in front of the
court.
The court, yes, you know how expensive this will be, it will be super expensive. So I literally freaked out. I had first a depression because I felt like I'm doing something nice and I got punished for that. So I freaked emotionally out, you know. So I called the president of the city of culture. This is the highest, you know. I called him and I was telling him all the story. One day later, the girl that was in charge of public art called me and told me, Romano, it's all fine. We pay the transportation, new spot.
Thank you.
super expensive. So I literally freaked out. I had first a depression because I felt like I'm doing something nice and I got punished for that. So I freaked emotionally out, you know.
Say things which speak to the kind of public
that you would doubt their almost, I would say, Hellenistic relation to intuition, you know, Athenian, Spartan,
Delphic.
The oracles. Well, oh my God, in other words, it's the summum of the summum, the amazingly impressive summum of the mental kitsch. That's what you get from this amazing generation.
She has been.
That, you know, will be kind of in that more routine space of how to think about, how to talk about an artwork.
Point which triggers the passion.
Or kind of really
touches the lives.
No, I'm thinking of Paul Celan, you know, like when he started to write, sorry, is that me that you need to drink now more, or?
No, sorry. You can continue with your story.
I thought it's okay. Breakfast already, you know, we are fresh. And
is there something where you need to relate to art education, or?
Not at all.
No.
Education, like, I'm running away. No, but I'm Paul.
Did you make this cut, or yes. Is there something structural to it?
No. We made this cut in with laser. Mm-hmm. With laser.
What is he painting? What is he hiding?
The hiding things are painted. If it comes to painted ideas.
But like, it paints a banana, for instance?
Yeah.
It paints a banana.
A banana. And you can see this banana.
You can't.
You can.
You can.
You can.
You can't see the banana.
If you imagine it.
So can you see the banana? Or do you have to imagine the banana?
You have to imagine.
The banana?
Yeah.
Where is the banana?
It's in the painting.
Somewhere.
He painted
it. Somewhere in the painting.
It's somewhere in the painting.
So does the title say something like,
yeah,
somewhere in the painting there is a banana?
It's a laughing banana, you know? It's a yellow laughing banana.
Wow. Is that a real painting? Did I just make up a painting by Bruno Jacob?
Yeah. It's, you know, it's
extraordinary.
Yeah. It's not a...
We should know about.
Be just a line, it must be, you know, many things. And in the case of this Kono mask, I remember that some of the more interesting interpretations were along the line that, again, it was, you know, it was this mask that is elongated and has this kind of eerie ears coming out, but also very stretched and could be therefore also kind of butterfly. And
I'll say it again, we will call this the sound rendering of Untitled Cadaver Key 2015 by Vittorio Santoro in collaboration with Adam Vashkar for Counterspace Zurich. And okay, go for it.
Okay, Mr. Vittorio Santoro, 36 Rue du Président Wilson, 92 300. Levallois-Perret, France. Dear Adam.
Dear Vittorio.
He is unaware of the lamp in his hands, even when it goes out and...
Darkness strikes him blind, the darkness of his soul.
Best Vittorio.
Best Adam.
And this letter was sent from Paris on the 23rd of April 2015. So the next one will be again on the envelope we have. It's a letter which was sent from Prague on the 28th of April 2015, and on the envelope it reads: Mr. Vittorio Santoro, 36 Rue du Président Wilson, 92 300. Levallois-Perret, France.
Novosibirsk, 1943.
Dear Joseph, that yesterday I had turned a little towards the balustrade of the bridge and the executioners, in a desire to accommodate me, had turned a full right angle and brought the trio to a halt, facing the island below, without seeing the
glittering little waves on the river, as if everything in my life was about to end, and these were the farewell bells.
I decided not to attempt an escape on the morning of their rest, because the two movements are opposite, toward the law and away from the
unlimited accumulation of capital by formally peaceful means. Constant reintroduction of capital into the economic circuit with the view of the reaping of profit. Dear Grandma, car headlights of the future won't blind other drivers.
Nor people on the street side that seems to miss the obvious fact that there are two lights involved.
And will at last break. into a phlegm as faster
members
rot by but by degrees till bones and flesh and sinews fall away. So will the space and induce discord rep and how
breathe
and how fear the
how I fear
and how I fear the fatal prophecy
of not being clarified of this delusion, because I never found it opportune to ask that one question that could have been fruitful.
Is it possible he should know what he is and be that he is? To what not do?
Mm-hmm. So this is an envelope sent from Prague on the 4th of May 2015. Monsieur Vittorio Santoro, 36 Rue du Président Wilson, 92-300 Levallois-Perret, France.
If you have bought a TV that develops a fault, you should be able to claim for
a lassitude of the infinite.
The selected topic is currently unavailable. If you are connected to the internet and the content still doesn't appear, try again later.
Okay, this is a postcard sent from Italy, from Bologna on the 23rd of May 2015. Dear Adam, are you also convicted and assuming you could enter that door without private preparation?
From this point of view, the capitalist firm seems to share the same drawbacks as the collectivized or fascist firm.
And the address is Adam Vachar, CEO Angelo Romano, Linda Jensen, Anvansha 7, 8004 Zurich in Switzerland. And it's a postcard of the Museo Morandi in Bologna. Vachar, CEO Angelo Romano, Anvansha 7, 8004 Zurich in Switzerland. Dear Adam, a metaphysical perspective highlights some surfaces, but these surfaces refrain narrative elaboration because
the rivalry between traders seeking to make profit, however, does not
best Vittorio
necessarily yield a market in the classical sense, where the conflicts resolved by transaction.
There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 more envelopes that I guess were conveying.
Every letter was every piece of letter, I mean, every letter was sent back and forth at least 2 or 3 times.